Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's more here from the Columbus Dispatch. Some decent reporting by them as well over the last couple of days.
And this is piggybacking on the NBC News report here. Three former wrestlers told NBC News it was well known that Strauss showered regularly with students and inappropriately touched them during appointments. One wrestler said he told Jim Jordan directly about the abuse. Said former athletes and students have described physical examinations or checkups by Strauss in which they were routinely made to take off their pants or have their genitals thoroughly inspected by Strauss for such ailments as heartburn or a sore throat. And in addition to misconduct by Strauss, DiSabato and other wrestlers have described a cesspool or gauntlet of sexual deviancy in and around the wrestling facilities in the then physical education building. There's a video that they made that included the head wrestling coach, Russ Hellickson, who was Jim Jordan's boss. And he was the wrestling coach from 1986 to 2006. The head coach says that Strauss was too hands-on with athletes. The physician took long showers in the same area as the wrestlers. He said, all of my administrators recognized it was an issue for me. I'm sure that I talked to all of them on numerous occasions about my discontent with the environment. So DiSabato,
the head coach?
That's the head coach. So somehow Jim Jordan and all this, like, I don't know. I didn't know anything. The head coach is acknowledging some of this. And the assistant coach, who had a locker next to Strauss, who was told directly by an athlete, is now saying, eh. And I don't think there's no subpoena power here. This is the problem. He is going to lie to these investigators. Even if he shows up and sits down in a room with him, he's not going to he's going to say.
Because these are NCAA investigators.
Correct.
Right?
They're
Ohio State hired investigators. They're not the NCAA coming down.
No. It's like the free report where there's no subpoena power here. They don't have to. He's not under oath. There's no penalty for him lying. So I think we've realized now that he's lied about knowing what was going on, lied about having any awareness at all, lied about whether or not he was told something was going on, then lied about being contacted. Nothing is going to, he's going to get away with this.
Can you do me a favor and pick up the Columbus Post dish, the NBC News report that you just had? Because the quote from, is it Hellickson? Hellickson,
yes.
Right? The head coach there. What's terrifying to me in almost all of these cases, because you brought up Michigan State and you brought up Penn State, and there are others in the world, USA Gymnastics, for that matter. Let's not forget them in Michigan State, the Michigan State conversation.
Right, going all the way to Caroli Ranch in Texas, right?
It's what's – obviously the crime is atrocious, right? And
crimes.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. Crimes are atrocious. But the ever-expanding balloon – as you look into, as investigations, whether they have subpoena power or not, but the ever-expanding balloon of adults in power who didn't face the hard choice of trying to protect kids for sake of whatever, for the sake of the legacy of a program, for the sake of not wanting to do the hard thing, for the sake of
Joe Paterno
not wanting to damage their own legacy, for the sake of, you know, not thinking that this could ever happen here, not in this fine little town of whatever. There is always, or it seems to me, always an ever-expanding balloon of adults who looked the other way and didn't want to do the tough thing. And if you're not willing to do the tough thing to protect these types of victims, then what the hell are you willing to do the tough thing for? What, if not that, then what? I mean, I understand that we've all of us been in situations where somebody treats somebody the wrong way, where you see a behavior and you didn't call it out. You didn't bring it up to a boss. You didn't pass this along. You didn't stand up for somebody who needed protection at the time. And it's hard. It's hard to go back and justify that to yourself. It's hard to go back and look at yourself and go, I should have spoken up. I didn't. I owed that person more. I owed that situation more of my effort, more of my concentration. But in a situation like this, where if his athletes are looking at him and going, hey, this is what happening. Here is physically what happened to me. Here is what just happened in the case of, I think it's Ness, the name of the wrestler, not DeSabato, the guy who was in there and had it and walked out of the office because he wasn't having
it. And said, this just happened to me, and then said...
Just now!
And then said that Jim Jordan said, if he ever tries that on me, I'm going to kick his ass or I'm going to turn his lights out or something like that.
It's crap.
Right.
It's pure crap. So the Helican quote, my question there is, if he's the head coach from 86 to 2006, right, and saying at this point, right, his quotes are from this investigation saying we all knew then that something was weird with Strauss. We all knew then that a relationship, that his behavior was a little bit off center and that things were going on, that to me, unless I'm reading the quotes wrong, to me that means this was barked up the channel. This was given to administrators at Ohio State, at least one level above Helixson, and no one, again, it's an expanding bubble of people who chose to look the other way.
We know how these things work. We've seen this too often. We know there's people saying, I didn't know. You knew. Everybody seemed to know. The segment was brought to you by Dell. Dell's Black Friday and July sale up to 40% off and deals on PCs with Intel Core processors. Plus, get free shipping. Visit Dell.com/businessdeals or call 877-BUY-DELL. And it's just the weaselly thing to do, obviously, on July 4th when the attention is elsewhere. That's when you say, I met with reporters. I talked to people about it. But the fact that these investigators are going to talk to him and he's going to lie through his teeth because there's no penalty whatsoever
for
him doing
so.
Or
he'll just not remember.
I don't know. Jeff is in West Chicago. He's on the score in Bernstein and McKnight. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Okay.
I don't know if you guys are aware, but just what a weasel that Jordan is. He was questioning Rosenstein. I was the attorney general.
Yeah, that's not material to what's happening.
But
with this.
I understand that. But just his arrogance and his, I guess just his arrogance would point to what kind of human being he is.
Well, I mean, I'm not even – forget all that. I'm just sticking with the facts of what's going on here, what happened at Ohio State with him as an assistant wrestling coach, having been told directly what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who had distaste for this guy heading into these stories coming out. But forget that. I mean, there's no politics in that, in this story, in the story from the Columbus Post, from
Correct.
The NBC. There's no politics in the Ohio State investigation.
No, it's simply the fact of, again, the same dynamics are at work. Why protect a sexual predator? What is in it for everyone? Why is it, and then, like you say, if this reveals your nature, if this reveals who you are and what is meaningful to you and where your priorities are, just what does it say about you? And now the ongoing lying about it at every turn.
Worth noting, too, at least this caught me 2 days ago when we talked about this the first time around, whether it's DeSabato or really any of the other three wrestlers I think that we've had quotes from at this point, almost all of them went out of their way to credit Jordan as a guy they liked, as a coach that they enjoyed, a guy that was helpful to them and meaningful in their, I guess, you know, collegiate wrestling careers. For them to both say that about a coach and also desperately need, to the point of revealing their own abuse, you know, again, reliving this thing again, having to talk about what wasn't done by a person they trusted to do something like this, just kind of tells you that, not that you needed another evidence of the struggle that these kind of crimes can inflict on humans, but it gives you another piece of that. And hopefully it reminds Jim Jordan what these guys went through.
Sure. It's what's amazing.
And continue to go through.
And so much of it with the Penn State thing we blamed on and the continued behavior of the Joe Botts and the Penn State fans. We continued to say, well, how can this program, this man, this team be so meaningful to them and take up such an important piece of their existence and their self-image and whatever pathology that's been in central Pennsylvania? I started to understand that a little bit, terrified by it, but started to understand it, you know, from the Amir Barlev documentary, Happy Valley, et cetera.
Yeah.
This is Ohio State wrestling.
Yes.
Or Michigan State gymnastics. I can even understand a little bit with something with the size and scope and strength of USA gymnastics.
Yeah, I think paired together,
a little
that's,
bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that.
And this guy was abusing athletes across the spectrum. They wouldn't say 12.
Strauss was
at 12 different sports. But the fact that it would be like, well, this is Ohio State wrestling. What happens here stays here. We can and how even something that you would think that as unimportant in the grand scheme of things in sports. I mean, this isn't Penn State football. It's a college wrestling team.
I think people get provincial. I think college fans get provincial. I think when you get to towns like that, when you get to places like that, and I'm guilty of it as anything else, you get provincial, you get defensive of a program that you've come up to enjoy every Saturday or whatever day wrestling matches are held. I think that kind of mindset is actually really easy to understand. What's not easy to understand is the ability to, for the sake of nearly anything, hold on to that provinciality, hold on to whatever that means in your life, and look at the victims at the same time and go, well, it doesn't matter because what I need is this, not your struggle.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. We are Bernstein and McKnight. We are on 9 to 1 Monday through Friday on Sports Radio 670. Began the show talking a lot of baseball. Exciting times for the Cubs. Strange times continuing regarding Yu Darvish. Mm-hmm. We played the Jim Hickey comments earlier on the Scores Morning Show as he was answering questions as honestly as he could, but it just made us a little bit more confused about when and how Yu Darvish is going to make his way back to the Cubs, because it looks like that's going to be their trade deadline acquisition. It's whether or not he's going to be here at the trade deadline. We don't know. You want to give it a listen again?
Yeah, we'll give that a listen. I think there's some Joe Madden conversation with the assembled Cubs beat yesterday that was talking about the how Yu Darvish is going to make his return that was still a little bit nebulous.
All right, we'll weave all that in coming up on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The question is, how is Yu Darvish? He had the procedure to inject some cortisone, an anti-inflammatory shot.
Did you ever have a cortisone shot?
I have not had a cortisone shot.
I got a cortisone shot when I was about 18, 19 years old in my shoulder. For me, it hurt. It burned a little bit for about, 8 hours, and then did nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you have to be very careful with it because too much cortisone can make tissue brittle.
Really?
Yeah. While it is an anti-inflammatory, it can also make soft tissue more brittle and then likely to be injured. So you got to be very careful.
I don't mean to imply this is a bad idea for Darvish's treatment. I have no idea. I'm just saying, plus I didn't go to Cubs team's doctors when I was 18 years old. There, he's in much better hands than I was, presumably. I had one and it didn't do anything for
me. All right, let's listen to Jim Hickey. This is with Mulligan and Hanley as we're trying to sort of triangulate what's going on with the Cubs pitcher.
Joe said that he talked to Yu Darvish recently about what's going on with him. Is it just status quo? Still no activity? What's going on there, Jim?
Well, the plan was ever since he got his injection, which was a couple of days ago, that he would not throw for 4 or 5 innings. So basically it is status quo, but he does feel good. He feels fine. So as soon as he begins to start throwing the baseball again, we're going to have to go through a little bit of progression of building up the arm strength. And then kind of go through the same thing that we did before with the, a bullpen, a simulated game, probably going out of the rehab assignment. So we're in line from where, he had his setback. We're in line, and I think that things look good going forward. That's still going to be a little bit.
Will we see him optimistic? Is it optimistic to think we'll see him before the trade deadline, or are we now going to be talking about August before he's up and running?
Today is July the 5th. It'll be right at the trade deadline. I think that we'll see him. So it's optimistic to say that. That's realistic to say 1 month from now, but optimistic to say before the trade deadline, yeah.
Okay. See him is undefined.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said 4 or 5 innings, we think he meant 4 or 5 days before he can actually throw a baseball at all.
Having listened to this for what has to feel like the 12th time now, I think what he means by status quo is that the cortisone shot hasn't necessarily changed any immediate timeline, which makes sense. It wouldn't. He would need to cool out and not throw for a couple of days. This is the back off period.
Okay, and we heard Mike Mulligan talk about the conversation that Joe Maddon had with you, Darvish. So let's hear directly from Maddon about his conversation and about what he learned from it.
General health, going to Texas, coming back, you know, what are you feeling right now? Philosophical discussion based on what's going to happen down the road, how you feeling, getting you back out there. And I just wanted to know how much we want him back out there and how important he is to us. We're trying to derive a plan to get him back out there as soon as possible. So again, it's just a communicative thing. How you feeling? Tell me what you're thinking right now. And he did. And then it's just a matter of everybody getting on the same page and moving it forward. I did tell him how eager we are to get him back. I know he's feeling better, though. I'm talking to him. He's feeling better. I did not speak with PJ yet today. So once I do, then I'll have a better idea, because you will talk with PJ. PJ, they'll get together, and we'll decide when that moment's going to occur.
And then we'll find out what the stage is and how many steps back he's taken and what it means to begin a complete reboot, or are they picking up short of the South Bend rehab start?
Yeah, they're going to have to find out. I think by and large, what this feels like to me is the next time they get him out to throw, really what it means is all you can go off how he feels the day after that. Whenever that is, whenever that next time he's out to throw.
The last time you said that, it wasn't true, though.
I know.
The last time you said that.
That's the thing, too. That's like the best quiver in my baseball, best arrow in my baseball cliche quiver. The only thing you need to worry about is how a guy feels the day after, unless that happens, which never happens.
What happened last time was he was in pain and he couldn't fully extend when he threw, and he said, yeah, it didn't feel good.
There's like four things I know to be true when you're talking about baseball injuries, and I've picked these up over the last little bit. That's it. I thought, and then my world was shattered, because apparently the most important thing isn't how a guy feels after the day after he throws.
Is it just me, or between Hickey and Joe, does it sound like they know absolutely nothing?
I think that's the conclusion.
They know nothing.
Yeah, because he was asked, Maddon was also asked directly, will it be a reboot? Will Darvish be starting over?
You could easily say it would be. He's not been down for like months at a time, so I would think that the arm strength is still there. He's still in great shape. He's still been moving around. So I don't know that it would be necessarily as long. But, again, I have no expectations other than I want him to be well. I want him to feel really good about it. And then we'll stick him back out there. And this is just a planning phase among the doctors, the training staff, and Bussy in the room there. So it's a patient process right now, and I'm willing to be very patient.
They don't know.
Well, at some point, doesn't he have to operate like an NFL coach, up or down? I mean, doesn't he have to? At some point, it's medical staff has to do their stuff. Bus has to do his stuff. And at some point, I get the yes, go, or no go for launch thing from them. He's got a pitching staff to worry about. He's got a bullpen to manage. He can't make the elbow feel better.
Breaking into Prince Humperdinck there for a moment. I got my wife to murder and Gilda to blame for it. I'm swamped.
Every ship but your four fastest. Well, naturally, not actually. Those ships.
If you're right. He's being asked a lot of questions, and I think people are doing their best to try to be honest, and nobody knows anything, because ultimately the up or down is going to be Darvish himself.
Yeah.
They can say you're clear, you're clear, you're clear, you're 4 days, innings, five, removed
innings,
from
days or innings.
Your cortisone shot. Now go throw a baseball. My worry is that we're just on this slippery slope to Tommy John again.
Nothing Joe can do about that.
No, straight up. That's
nothing a training staff.
If you start looking at likelihoods of outcomes here, and you can say the same thing for Shohei Ohtani and everything they're saying about platelet enriched blood transfusions and whatever you want to do. When you start talking about this pain that becomes that pain, that is this, that doesn't feel right, start talking to orthopedists, and sometimes you're getting back to, you know what, we got to do this again.
There are exceptions. Masahiro Tanaka was able to get away with a little bit of tear in the UCL and pitch again. Both the Angels starters with Garrett Richards, and
right.
I'm going to space on the other guy, Tyler Skaggs, maybe. Garrett Richards and somebody else, they both did the same thing, wanted to go for platelet, didn't and did work for one and not the other. It's not as though it's unheard of to avoid something like that, but we haven't gotten to a point yet where it seems like that's what they're dealing with.
As we talk Cubs, you should know that we already had one fabulous time at the Brickhouse Tavern at our...
That was really fun.
At our special broadcast where we sit and we talk and we have fun hanging out with Chicago Cubs. It is going to be a thing. And the first one with Javier Baez and Luke Farrell and Ian Happ was an hour that felt like about 5 minutes of just talking in-depth baseball. But we are not done. We are going to be back. People say, well, when are you going to do this again? Well, we are going to do it again on Monday, July 23rd, Wilson Contreras and Mike Montgomery.
Nice.
From noon to one for the second installment of the Cubs On Deck Luncheon Series presented by AZEK Building Products and Xfinity. So if you want to be a part of this, tickets are on sale right now. You go to 670thescore.com/ondeck, 670thescore.com/ondeck.
This is a thing you could bring the people to. You know, this is an accessible kind of deal. You come around with the family and everything. You get to see and meet and greet and handshake, and hopefully we'll tell some lies, and these guys tell good stories.
Midday, midway, straight ahead. I have one of my absolute favorite kinds of stories. And if you know me, if you've been listening long enough, when I tell you this took place on a game reserve in Africa, you may have some idea of what has gone on that I will never, ever stop celebrating.
I was tasked with a research project just a couple of days ago. I have the results
of
said research project, and they will be fun. I also have a story about robots in Russia that you don't know where it's going. You don't, but it'll be fun, I promise.
I also want you to think, who has the top-selling jersey among NFL quarterbacks? Get that in your mind. The top-selling jersey among NFL quarterbacks and...
Well, I have a Blake Bortles in my room.
And the top-selling defensive player from April 1st through June 23rd. Who's the top-selling quarterback? Who is the top-selling defensive player in the NFL on that jersey?
That's all coming up on the Midday Midway next. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
11!
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One... Two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
Nine, ten.
It's not ten. You see, you're on ten here. Where can you go from there? Where?
To 11.
11, exactly.
11.
Midway, so real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Trying to make sense of any timeline, made up or not, regarding the return of Yu Darvish, celebrating Javier Baez, looking at the fact that even with a six-game win streak, the Cubs are looking at what appears to be a dogfight to stay out of the coin flip game. This is going to be a real race between two teams that are going to look different, perhaps relative to each other, when we get to the trade deadline. Because the Milwaukee Brewers adding Noah Syndergaard or adding Jacob deGrom are not quite the same as looking at the way they look now. But they are not backing down, and this is setting up to be something. We also talked about what is going on with the continued lying by Representative Jim Jordan about what he knew or what he saw at Ohio State, lying about whether or not he was contacted by investigators. And there's more to the story we're going to get to. Apparently,
we can do this?
Yes, we could do it probably after the midday.
Yeah, after the midday.
But it's DeSabato, I guess is the way it's pronounced. The former wrestler who was a victim of Dr. Strauss says that not only did Jim Jordan know, Jim Jordan actually witnessed some of these behaviors himself, and there are others who can corroborate that. Wow. So that's something we're going to get to.
The Midday Midway starts with trade rumors, I guess. I was going to do a story of Russian robots, I suppose, and it would not pass. I ran it by Shane and Eli. It did not pass the vigorous vetting principles the Midday Midway needs and necessitates.
Oh, well, we have a team.
It is, yeah. It passed the first round. Second round of vetting, it turns out that maybe not as reliable reporting as I needed it to be.
I would refer to them as the taint team, but that's a different squad altogether.
And as it turns out, that story that I was looking at got far too into that varietal than it should have. This from John Paul Morosi, though, and it's clean from MLB.com. Let's talk about potential positions, or rather destinations, for Manny Machado. And, of course, that's going to be the big name as we head up to the Major League trade deadline because it wasn't done last season. That said, he goes ahead and details a couple of reasons why the Braves and the Phillies might be players for Manny Machado.
Hmm.
Most of it has to do with the continued decimation of a Washington Nationals team that, despite the talent that looks like it exists on that team, they just haven't done anything and had a players-only meeting after a, I think it's a 7-game losing streak the Nationals are now on. Bryce Harper's just kind of lost, and
it is not good.
U-G-L-Y. That said, in this piece, Morosi kind of rounds up a few conversations with GMs and baseball people, his kind of collected brain. Young, controllable, starting pitching. That's what the Orioles seem to covet for Manny Machado. The Phillies have some of that. The Braves certainly have some of that in the minor league system that they can go ahead and deal. Some of it's up the major league system now. But I find it interesting and fascinating what kind of price Machado is going to get out of anybody. But there are other teams that fit that bill, and if the Orioles have played this as badly as it seems, and the price comes down...
You're assuming the Orioles know what they're doing at all.
Yeah, I guess I kind of have to for sake of making a trade conversation happen, because they know they should trade Manny Machado. The how of it seems to completely escape them. Regardless, young, controllable, starting pitching, young, controllable, starting pitching. I say that a couple of times for those who think something else might get it.
Did you read Peter Schmuck in the Baltimore Sun?
I did.
Where he made the point that I made weeks ago when we were talking to the reporter, I think it was Brittany Grioli. And she was castigating me for insinuating...
Us, really? But yes.
Well, you were arguing with her about whether or not Andrew Cashner is worth throwing all that money at.
Anybody.
But it was a really sort of tense, argumentative 15 minutes.
It was. She had her point, and she made it.
My point was exactly the point Peter Schmuck made, that every day that Machado plays for them instead of for you, you're going to want to give up less of a rental fee for him because you're getting less product. This is from the Mirror in England. A gang of poachers who broke into a South African game reserve to slaughter a herd of rhinos.
Oh, please.
Were attacked and eaten by a pride of hungry lions.
It was, yes.
Way to go, lions!
That's
a head and a number of bloodied parts and limbs were found near the scene after at least three illegal hunters were devoured by the predators. Staff at the Sibuya Game Reserve in Eastern Province, South Africa, called a helicopter to search the area for more poachers. A veterinarian had to tranquilize these six lions so police could go inside and recover the remains of the mauled poachers. They came heavily armed with hunting rifles and axes, which we have recovered, and enough food to last them for several days, so we suspect they were after all of our rhinos here. Said they were clearly intent on killing rhinos and cutting off their horns. So that was from the director of the game reserve.
Question here. No way for you to know this. No way for anyone to know this. I just feel like putting it out. Why the need to go in there and recover any of the poachers' remains? Why not just leave them there?
Maybe
they brought other stuff you don't want to leave around?
I don't know. Maybe
I suppose if they brought guns.
Yeah, you don't want the animals messing around with guns and axes or anything. He said, the lions were our watchers and guardians. They picked the wrong pride. They became a meal. Whilst we are saddened at any loss of life. The poachers came here to kill our animals, and this sends out a very clear message to any other poachers that you will not always be the winner. The staff had to wait until Wednesday morning until the area could be declared safe to go in and recover what was left. A police spokeswoman confirmed the grim discovery was made in the lion camp.
I thought for a moment you were going to tell me that they were killed and eaten by the rhinos. To be very happy for the rhinos getting outside their dietary program. You know, sometimes you got to branch out, be exploring, you know?
Yeah, they had the lions do their work for them, but good for you, lions, and thank you.
Doesn't it start the argument that you should start deciding to arm some of the good animals with guns?
Fair point.
Yeah, the
rhinos couldn't defend themselves.
Yes, but the best laid plans, once they become sort of self-aware that they've been weaponized, and then they turn on you.
A Skynet scenario.
Yeah, or an Isla Nublar scenario.
The rhinos are going right after the zebras.
Yeah,
I mean, we all know that.
Yeah, poor zebras who are always the last. Those are the ones you should arm, because they're food for everybody.
I've watched a good amount of the World Cup, and I know you and I both watched a ton last weekend with the France Argentina game, and then the one after that was Denmark and Croatia.
Oh, England and Colombia.
That was a whole thing.
The entire gym where I was on the main floor, the exercise floor at Lincoln Park Athletic Club,
stop. Everybody stop to watch the penalty kicks.
That was amazing.
Everybody stop. And with no rooting interest, and just everyone's just sort of staring at the big screens, jumping up and down.
I missed the game tire. Like, I flipped, and they had just finished celebrating the game tire in the whatever it was, the 89th or 90th minute, whatever it was. Damn it, I missed another one. I have not seen much of Brazil play. Have you seen a Brazil game? I don't know whether they've played early or not. I just
They're
haven't caught them.
They're pretty floppy. When I see them, there's always someone writhing.
Interesting that you bring that up.
As if they've been hit by lightning or they're experiencing some sort of Pentecostal Holy Spirit.
A writhing kind of thing on the ground. Yeah. Interesting that you bring that up because that's exactly where we're headed. At 1 o'clock tomorrow, they play Belgium. Give me sport, our guys.
Yeah, Deeks.
Over in the UK. I don't know if the Deeks wrote this because it was just the Give Me Sport Twitter handle that did it out. But apparently they're keeping metrics on everything in soccer just like they're keeping numbers on everything else. And Neymar, right? The transcendent soccer star for Brazil, right? The singularly named Neymar. He has spent 14 minutes lying on the ground.
14 minutes?
14 whole minutes this tournament just there on the ground. I don't know enough about soccer to tell you whether that's egregious or not. I know flopping is part of the game at some point. If you get into the 18-yard box, you're trying to sell stuff, and that's how goals are made. They're very difficult to win these games, I'm sure. 14 minutes sounds like a long damn time to milk a penalty.
Can you tell me the quarterback who is the top seller, his jersey, who has the top-selling jersey among NFL quarterbacks from April 1st through June 23rd in the league's official online shop?
Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Tom Brady?
No.
Is it going to... Am I going to be weirded out by this?
No.
Okay. Philip Rivers.
No.
Carson Wentz?
No. He's Wentz is second. Brady's third.
Baker.
Baker is fourth.
Mike Glennon.
Stop it. See how long this takes you here? Because the top-selling jersey is Saquon Barkley. The blue and white Giants, Saquon Barkley is number one. But he's the top quarterback.
It won't be Kirk Cousins.
Nope. Not on the list. The other
Mitchell.
Nope, The other quarterbacks after Mayfield: Nick Foles, Sam Darnold, Marcus Mariota, Dak Prescott, and then it's Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. Keep
Russell
going.
Wilson?
No.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
It is Jimmy Garoppolo is the number one selling quarterback. Who is the number one selling defensive player, and at what number do you think you can find the first defensive player on the list?
How many numbers you got?
Like, at what ranking?
Yeah, how deep you go? Are there 50 names on there? Are there 50 ranks, is what I'm saying?
I know what this guy is. But
I see what you mean. I see. You just have the one.
It just says, at blank, this guy is the first defensive player on the list.
I'm going to say it's like 77, and it's J.J. Watt.
Okay, well, that 77 is ridiculous.
I have no idea.
That's ridiculous.
I have no idea. It's J.J. Watt, though.
No, it's number 17.
No, it's J.J. Watt.
You need 17 guys to get
it's
to a defensive
player.
Just
because you're a Wisconsin
player.
Guy. That's the only reason why you're saying that.
It has nothing to do with it. He went to Central Michigan for 3 years.
But what
years.
Does that tell you about what fantasy football has done and what football is, the offensive game that football is?
Oh, it's pure.
Remember Mike Brown during training camp? Why do you cheer when they go, we're Bears, too?
The hell with you, Mike.
Mike literally looked up for the field. He goes, we're also on the Bears.
Why
are you cheering for us to lose?
We'll cheer in the regular season, Mike. We're here for the offense.
Everyone loves offense. The answer is Jacksonville Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey.
Wow.
Is your top-selling defensive player at the official league online shop.
We spoke yesterday about your four criteria for slow players in baseball.
Ah, yes.
Remind me very quickly. Remind everyone very quickly what they are. They cannot be fat.
Right.
They cannot be old.
They cannot be hurt.
They cannot be catchers.
Yeah. So not fat, not old, not catcher, not hurt. That is the Paul Konerko rule for who is actually the slowest guy.
So I went through the numbers and wanted to find, it's really easy to do. You just do StatCast sprint speed, and then on the sprint speed thing where it's very fast, you click it, and then it goes to very slow. So the bottom of the list right now, for the first time in a couple of years, Albert Pujols is the slowest player in baseball. For the first time in a couple years, it is not a catcher. However, Albert Pujols might be three of those four things, if not definitely two. So he doesn't count. Then you get to Brian McCann, Yadier Molina,
catcher,
Victor
catcher.
Martinez, fat, slow, old catchers, all of them. Wilson Ramos, Alex Avila, Jesus Sucre, all of them catchers.
Jesus Sucre, so, sky point.
We get to eight.
Sugar Jesus.
We get to eight.
Yeah.
It is a 31-year-old first baseman who is not hurt, but you tell me if 31 at first is old, because we're in that nexus of maybe.
Is it Abreu?
It is not Jose Abreu. No, he's actually kind of he's a runner. This is an AL Central player. He is 31. He plays first base. He has 88 competitive runs this season at 23.5 feet per second. Yonder Alonso is in the running.
But he was fat, wasn't he?
He was, is less fat now. You tell me if he's either fat, old, a catcher, or hurt. I'm willing to move on from Yonder Alonso.
Okay, like let me just ask, who would be next?
Okay, couple of catchers, Francisco Peña, Wellington Castillo, Bobby Wilson. At 12, 30 years old, another first baseman, Justin Bour, is very slow.
That's pretty good.
At 23.7 feet per second. That's pretty slow.
I might be better with Justin, because Yonder Alonso is a former fat. He's a recovering fat.
He's a recovering fat. That's what our guys are doing today and tomorrow, recovering from fat. At 19, your first non-first base, slowest guy, Luis Valbuena of the Angels, 24.2 feet per second. Luis Valbuena, very slow.
Connor, is that chubby one from the Twins, Astudillo or whatever the heck his name is, that thinks he can play outfield on the list?
Let me see if Astudillo has a list on here. No, I don't see him. I don't know that he's got enough runs yet to qualify.
Okay.
I know it takes X to get to your...
Who is the...
Yeah, you need 10 competitive runs to qualify, so he's not on here yet.
What was the name of the Mariners prospect, the one-time top prospect, that got enormously out of shape to the point where a scout got in trouble for throwing a hot dog
Montero.
At him? Jesus Montero.
Jesus
okay.
Montero. Apparently he had a love affair with ice cream sandwiches, which my response, why don't you marry the ice cream sandwich? But that's his problem to overcome. He was traded for, by the way, the right-hander out of the Yankees. Is he, oh my God.
Severino?
Not Severino. Jesus Montero. At the time, it was this trade where everyone went, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense for the Mariners because they need some sort of bat. And for the Yankees, they needed an arm.
Michael Pineda.
And then the ice cream sandwiches.
That
is the Midday Midway, the segment brought to you by Dell. Dell's Black Friday and July sale, up to 40% off in deals on PCs with Intel Core processors. Plus, get free shipping. Visit Dell.com/business deals or 877-BUY-DELL. We've got some sound from CNN with Mike DeSabato, who was a victim of Richard Strauss at Ohio State, the doctor that was abusing multiple athletes there. And it's pretty graphic, I will say that. We have vetted it, and we think it's okay. But it's some pretty graphic descriptions of what went on at Ohio State. And it involves an actual eyewitness account of Jim Jordan himself being involved in this and seeing this and being there. It places him there as this was going on. So it is the starkest evidence yet that Representative Jim Jordan is continuing to lie about what he knew, what he saw, what he suspected, and what was going on that everybody seemed to know about for way too long at Ohio State.
That's next. He's Dan. I'm Connor. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
It's one thing for Jim Jordan to flatly lie about any level of awareness of the sexual abuse that was occurring in the offices of Richard Strauss and in the wrestling facility at Ohio State. It is another thing for him to also lie about whether or not he was contacted by the law firm that is doing the independent investigation of this for Ohio State.
Which it seems he did.
It's another thing to now be tied to having witnessed some abusive behavior in and of itself. Because apparently there was what has been described as, at the very least, an uncomfortable culture around Ohio State wrestling and in their showers. And on CNN yesterday, it was former Ohio State wrestler Mike DiSabato who says that he himself was victimized by Richard Strauss. And he was describing what was going on, who was there, and how many other people were involved in witnessing these kind of behaviors. It's a little bit graphic, but not terribly so. But I think you're enough of a grown-up to deal with it.
You mentioned Jim Jordan. Did you go to him, Mike? This is the key question. Did you go to him back then and report this inappropriate behavior from Dr. Strauss?
First of all, I would say that I didn't file
yes
an official
no.
report.
Can I get a yes or no Jim first?
Yes, I talked to Jim Jordan.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so you talked to Jim Jordan, and can you tell me a little bit more just about the substance of the conversations? And Jim Jordan, then, as this assistant coach and this big brother figure, what did Jim Jordan say back to you as far as proper steps to stop it?
Yeah, these conversations were not individual conversations. They were conversations with a group of athletes who, you know, were complaining on a regular basis, not only about Dr. Strauss, but the conditions within Larkins Hall, which forced us to take showers with not only Dr. Strauss, but other university faculty members and professors who had access to our shower facility and on a daily basis were involved in lewd acts that included public masturbation, excessive soaping of their groin area. And Dr. Strauss was one of those that took a lot of showers and soaped himself a lot. So when you look at the definition of sexual abuse and sexual assault, and Jim Jordan just went on record saying he knew about the facilities, he took showers with us, he saw Dr. Strauss and others perform these kind of acts in front of us.
He knew, he saw. He was there. He witnessed it. He saw some of the stuff himself. And where the head coach was also quoted by NBC and the Columbus Dispatch here, the head coach, all my administrators recognized it was an issue for me. I'm sure I talked to all of them on numerous occasions about my discontent with the environment. That's the head coach. That's Russ Hellickson.
Why is nothing being done?
I don't know.
Then?
I don't know.
It's baffling.
And the fact that this happened, that this it all happened on July 4th, is the best thing that ever happened to Jim Jordan, when the news cycle can just kind of pause and pick up and ignore the fact that here is a victim saying, we all talked to him on multiple occasions and he saw it happening. He was literally there in the shower.
One of the quotes from DiSabato, too, is for Jim Jordan to not support us, not just me, but not to support the group of athletes that trained for him, with him, and competed alongside him for 8 years is baffling, not just to me, but our entire team. I don't know how a group of athletes like that can possibly get over just the idea of being close to a coach like this. I mean, you've been in situations like this where you've got if not a mentor, then a guy in someone in a position of authority, a coach figure like this that you're supposed to trust and rely on. You know, if we're going to have the conversation about, you know, what sports does to further people and make men out of you or women out of you, you know, the life lessons learned in a situation like this, what life lessons were learned here?
And apparently, according now to the Daily...
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.